When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm going to sabotage this opening segment.
Thank God.
Okay. I have something to tell you. You don't know. I got in a car accident a week ago.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I did. I got T-boned in an intersection.
Oh, my God.
Almost T-boned. Almost T-boned. That's what the cop said. He goes, I said, now I'm mad after I cracked my car open to get out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A car accident.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Tell me about it. My friend Peggy and I, we went to a meeting. You know what I mean? A meeting. Nice little meeting. Coming back home, dilly-doo. And I just went, holy shit. Hang on, Peggy.
Oh, my God. You saw it coming?
Yeah. Because it does happen in slow-mo. It truly does. And I was going straight, and a woman turned left right into me. She was in full acceleration, and she turned, and I just went, and my little car, you know, I kind of like, I have a crappy little car. I just kind of went, doink, doink. And all I saw her is she put her hands on her face and she just started crying because she knew, right? And I went, Peggy, are you okay, Peggy?
Oh, my God.
And
gosh.
She's like, oh, my boob. Well, the seatbelt, you know, women in seatbelts, man. And she goes, are you all right? And I went, I don't know. I said, and there's like stuff all over, and the smoke coming out of the car.
No.
Right? And so I couldn't open my door right away, right? And I knew I had to get out. So I get out, a crack open, and I look at her and I go, are you okay? And she's just crying. And so you know, like all the traffic's, like you're in the middle of this huge intersection. Traffic's all stopped. The sirens start to come, and it's just like, this is so surreal. And so for a while there was like paramedics, two fire trucks, two police cars, and like all this, it was at night and all this stuff, chaos. And the paramedics check everybody out. So then they go. Then the firefighters, they check everybody out, and then they leave. Then the tow trucks come. They take the two cars away, right? They go, took my car. They took her car. They go, cars are gone. Then the cops kind of clean up the rest of it. And the cops, we're all just the three of us, my friend Peggy and me and the woman that hit me, the poor woman. And I said to the cop, you can't just leave us here. Like, we're, you know what I mean? Like, you can't leave us here. He goes, all right, we'll call you cabs.
And it's just like, call you a cab?
And it's just, it was, to me, it was just the most, make sure, and I've got many lessons about this, but it was just so bizarre to have all this chaos and then they just cleaned up, and it was like, and I looked at the intersection, nothing happened. They swept up all the, you know how they, you know, they put the kitty litter down to sweep up all, you know, to suck up the antifreeze, whatever they do.
Oh.
And it's like, it's just, and then the traffic was going back and forth. We're just standing there. I can't explain how bizarre it is. But the thing is, what if if anybody does get in a car accident, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, this is my word of warning. Is, you know how they say you should get information, right?
And, yes.
And so the girl, she was getting her neck checked by the paramedics. She had three paramedics in her car, and they were checking her neck. And he says, "Did you get information?" I said, "I am not walking over there." Well, she's in sheer distress going, "Hey, lady, can I get your number?" You know?
Oh, wow.
So I didn't. But what I did was I got on immediately, and I found a witness. I said, "Did you see this happen? Did you see this happen?" And I got that.
Yeah.
But I didn't get her information.
What?
Well, I didn't want to bother her.
Oh, my God.
I didn't want to bother her.
Oh, my God.
But thank God I took
Janice.
A picture. Well, I took a picture of with my cell. I went, I want to take a picture of my car all cracked up. This will be fun to show people, right? But thanks. So when I phoned the insurance people later, she goes, "Okay, I'm going to need her information." And I went, "I don't have it." She goes, "I need that." She goes, "If you don't have that information, it's going to back up this whole process by 8 weeks." And I went,
"Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Oh, no."
Well, where's the police report?
But they're not, because it just had happened. And they don't, the two agencies
but
don't.
But you can't get the police report?
I can get it. But I don't, anyway, so she said, I went, wait a minute. I took a picture. And so I had took a picture, and I just made out a partial plate. And she was so cool. She looked it up and she found it with a partial plate.
Oh.
Anyway, but. You have to get the information.
Yeah, no matter everyone knows that, bud.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what happens if my head fell off? You know what I mean? Who gets the information? If two people are in distress,
Well, if the cops come, they get it and give you a copy of the report, and the information should be on there.
All I'm saying is I'm thankful. As the cop said, if it was another foot, it would have been T-boned. Was just the most surreal thing. It's like it never happened.
And why does that bother you?
What? Like it was all gone?
Yeah.
Because it was like, give me my minute here, people.
Yeah.
Give me some, throw me a friggin' bone here.
Yeah.
I just went through something traumatic and it's all business as usual. People going by, and even as I was getting on the cab, on the way home, which cost me over $60, I might add, because I live in Timbuktu, I'm hearing on the traffic report, though, "Oh, there's an accident. Please watch out for 12th and Victoria. There's been an accident." I'm like, I'm sitting in the car here. It's over. It's all over. And they kept reporting, and I was so angry, I wanted to say,
yeah.
So you just feel kind of weird. This was the other thing. This was what kills me. So I went to my doctor because I think I should, tell my doctor. So he's writing it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he said, "How are you feeling?" I said, "To be honest, I've had a bit of vertigo the last couple, because when I walked, I tilt to the right a little bit."
Oh.
Right? And I went, "I've had a little vertigo." He goes, "What do you mean vertigo?" He has that accent, so I'm not making fun.
Yeah,
what do you mean vertigo?
This is a guy that sees you for everything, huh?
Exactly.
You know, doctors subspecialize these days.
Well, not where I was.
Some see you for feminine issues. Some see you for, but chiropractic issues. But you see the same guy. It's the same accent every time. What do you mean?
That's what he said.
You got a baby. You got your old eggs.
Anyway, he says, I said, I got a bit of a vertigo. He goes, "Are you falling down?" I said, "No, I'm not falling down, but I said, I'm definitely tilting." He goes, "Well, it's not vertigo unless you fall down." I said, "Well, what does this mean?" He goes, "Oh, it's nothing." I said, I'm tilting. He goes, "You're fine." So I left. Unless you're falling down. He completely dismissed me. That's the purpose of this long thing.
Did you fall down?
I hate being dismissed. And I didn't fall down, but I tilted. For 3 days, I tilted to the right. I was like walking along. What's that, Doctor Jillian?
I think maybe.
But I'm back on the back of the.
Yep. Maybe a little sippy poo here and there is what I think.
Back on the sauce.
Taking little nips. That's what I think.
There it is. Maybe that's the key to this long, dramatic monologue. Being dismissed. I was dismissed.
Well,
the accident was dismissed. Yes, Jake.
It was an almost T-bone, Janice. You didn't get full T-bone.
Exactly.
Come on.
And you didn't fall down. I don't know what you're complaining about.
Exactly. There you both. Autumn, don't even say it.
I mean,
what?
No, I'm with you.
No, you're not.
Yes. You didn't even get the information, so nobody could do anything, even if she had gotten it, which she didn't, and everybody knows. It's the first thing you're supposed to do.
You know what? Oh, sorry, Autumn.
Yes? Well, I think not getting the information addresses a completely different issue.
Yeah.
Oh, because I didn't want to bother her.
Would you not didn't want to bother her.
God, you're messed up.
No, I'm with you.
Even every time I think you're getting better.
Stop, let Autumn talk because she's on my side.
Even as an adult, like since I've moved out and lived, well, now I don't live by myself. For a brief moment, I lived alone.
And even when I moved just out of my mom's house, I would call her when I was sick just to let her know she was sick so someone could feel sorry for me. Mm-hmm. I wanted someone to know that I wasn't okay. It's same with the accident. Like, someone needs to know that I'm not okay. I need someone and then to feel sorry for me.
Yeah, this isn't that interesting. Hmm. I need someone to know I'm not okay.
Yeah. No one knows I'm... No one knows. Like, no one knows I just got in this accident. No one knows I'm home with a sore throat. Hmm. Who cares about my sore throat?
Well, I think that is the problem. Is that
no
we
one
want
knows
to
I'm
feel
here.
Cared for.
What if something happened? What if something really bad just happened? No one knows I'm here.
I would care, Autumn.
But you wouldn't know until I told you.
Yeah, but then I would care. Not about Janice, though.
Not about you.
But it's so very interesting. It's like... It's like no one will know... And what Jake said, well, you almost, like, it's when it's like you're not quite.
It
when
you're confronts you with your own mortality because no one cares.
We need to create like an app or something for when Janice needs somebody to care. She just presses a button. We all get an alert.
I care. That's a good idea.
I care.
You could say, today this happened to me. Does anyone care? And like a bunch of people could click the care button. As though like the like button, it's like, I care. They could all do that.
This happened to me today. Does anyone care?
And they could be like, I'm so sorry, Janice. Today I got cracked in the head by my 2-year-old's baseball bat. I'm so sorry.
And then we can all write and go, I care.
Yeah, I care.
Let's simplify it even more.
Yeah.
All you do is you tap on Jillian's name or my name, and all it says, it sends this little message, I care. And when we care, when we're thinking of you, we just tap it and it sends it back to you.
Yeah,
I care, Janice.
I care, Janice.
Thinking of you.
Not enough to call, but enough to tap this button on my app. Oh, boy. Janice has tried to make a contribution.
Yeah.
What is this? It's...
From Women's Health. It's a little...
Little magazine?
It's a little... I think you've been on 80 times.
All right. Well, Janice pulled an article, and it's called The Digital Circle. What the heck is this called? It's about... Basically, here's what it's about. Well, why don't you tell us what it's about?
Well, it's about what you shouldn't when you're got a partner, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you got. How not to dick around with their social media. How not to snoop. How it, you know.
Yeah, but some of it says to do, and some of it says not to do.
Oh, I just saw not to do.
All right, here's what it says to do. Syncing your online calendars. This is a convenient way to hold yourselves accountable to the plans you've made together, and it shows that your relationship is top priority. Now, see, this would actually work for Heidi and I and probably save you a ton of aggravation. Look at Autumn's face.
Autumn doesn't like that.
You don't?
She doesn't like that.
You don't like that?
I think for you guys that would be great, but for her and her lover... We don't need to sync our calendars.
Well, what's your thought on that?
I don't know. It's
you
not
think
that
does
I,
it take away your autonomy?
Yeah,
of?
A little bit. Like yeah. I don't, and it, there's no secret. I mean, I really don't have any. Michael says that I'm needlessly shady, so this is probably one of those things. I just don't need to be tracked down all the time. You don't need to know every move I make.
Well, see, in theory, this says it enhances the trust.
Yeah.
So you're not needlessly. This says it's a good thing. Yes. I actually, for me, kind of like that because she's constantly like, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" Not because she doesn't trust me, but just because she's trying to figure out, right, when are you leaving and when do I need to get help, like watching the kids, or if you're gone Friday, do I need to have, you know, Hallie, who's our nanny, do I need Hallie to come later in the day so she can stay later in the day to help me get them ready for bedtime, or are you going to be here at bedtime? Or so she's just trying to figure out how to honestly plan her week around my week.
Gotcha.
So I actually don't think that's a bad idea on that one for my relationship.
But needlessly shady over here doesn't like
That's
it.
That's right. Needlessly right. shady.
It's just, this one I think is creepy. I think this is super creepy. I don't like this. They say this is good. Checking who he follows, he or she follows on Instagram or Twitter. And it says this can give you new insight beyond what he's already shared with you into his tastes and latest interests based on celebrity brands that he follows and companies he follows.
That is kind of good.
I like that. But then it says if he's into sexy lingerie models, don't be offended. But that feels intrusive.
No, that's totally a way for a girl to be like, I just want to see what he likes. And then it's like, who's this girl?
There you go.
Whoever wrote this is totally like, see, ladies, this is cool. It's okay to do that.
Yeah, I don't think that's good. I say no to that.
Okay.
That's Snoopy shorts. I don't like it. Google him.
I've Googled him.
Oh, yeah.
Look what happened.
I know. The mule sanctuary. Look what happened to me.
Janice Googled somebody and thought they owned a mule sanctuary.
And then I tried to be all mule, like, lover of the mule.
And she had no idea and thought Janice was a freak.
I just drank a lot of tequila.
I will say, though, there is something about, you know, I don't know about love really. Well,
no,
if it's a blind date. You know, I don't know. Maybe you want to know what you're getting into.
I don't see anything wrong with Googling somebody.
If you
want somebody,
to know what you're getting into, yeah. I mean, like, I will say as an employer, I mean, you always have to do that now. Always.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm saying really.
Some employers
yeah.
demand access to employees' Facebook pages. We don't obviously do anything like that. But, like, as a Heidi, like, when we hire anyone to watch the kids... Like when nannies and stuff, she throws the name in. Yeah, she's
and see what comes up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, now she's like, you know, make sure that nothing, there's no nothing. Yeah, but that's not a love thing. Like, this is different. Obviously, that's, you know, protecting your family. This is not the same thing. So Googling, I don't know.
Yeah, I Google for sure.
Right, okay, I'll say that one's fine.
Yeah, Google.
I'll say that one's fine because you never know what you could find out if they're an ex-con or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Exchanging passwords.
Not a chance. No way.
Yeah, it says it's good. It says 67% of couples have shared online passwords with their spouses or partners, and per the Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life Project, it might seem overly revealing, but it demonstrates your faithfulness and intertwines your world.
Oh. That's what, see, now you wonder why I'm single. Who wants an intertwined world?
Not me.
It's, you know, it says start out with passwords for things like Netflix.
Yeah, you know what, I'm gonna back up on that. We share passwords. I don't have anything to hide. I don't need to sync our calendar, but I mean, if you want to look, share my Netflix, I don't care.
What if you did have something to hide?
Oh.
Well, I would hide it somewhere better.
Interesting. Okay. Needlessly shady. Maybe we dropped
I mean, I have all of Jill's passwords.
And she does.
Everyone.
You know, what, am I cheating on you with another assistant? What are you talking about right now?
I don't know. Well, okay. All right.
Exchanging passwords. Uh-oh. It's Heidi. Hold on a second. Hang on. Oh. Yep. Hold on. Honey? Hey. What happened?
What do you mean? With the bird?
Yeah.
Climbed a tree part of the way and one of the branches cracked.
Uh-oh.
And when it cracked, the bird just took off.
Are you after all of these hours?
Yeah, but it didn't go far.
Uh-oh. Where is he?
He's got a baby, I'm telling you.
He's in another tree, but we can't find him.
Oh, no. Is there a nest up there?
A nest?
A nest. A nest, honey. like a bird nest.
I don't think it's nesting time right now.
That's what I said. Are you, so you don't see anything, huh?
No.
Maybe it's a kill. Maybe that's where the bird's storing its kill.
It's a parrot.
Maybe if there's a dead rat up there.
No,
a dead
parrots
something.
Don't eat rats. They eat seeds.
Parrots.
And one of its little buddies came and fed it some food.
Parrots kill.
No, they don't kill, no.
I'll lay you money, there's a dead...
You know, trust me, I know I have a parrot about this size. All right, well, keep your eyes and ears peeled.
I will. Cody said he heard it, but I don't know. We can't find it, so... But it didn't go far. Maybe there's a nest, but I'll have to look it up and see.
All right, let me know.
Okay.
All right, I love you.
I love you.
Right. Sorry to interrupt this broadcast, but this morning, this may end up on your edit sheet. This morning, I heard this. this morning, yes. I was hearing this tremendous squawking outside the window. And I was like, what is that? And we have like a wild parakeets in the area of parrots. They're wild parrots where we live. And this little guy was stuck in the tree, and but he was like 50 feet up in a tree. And I didn't want to be late. And so I'm taking the videos. And I so I send it to Heidi, and I send it to Cody, who's apparently I actually am cheating on Autumn with Cody. But they're very good friends. So, and handle different things. Think actually Autumn lives for Cody because she doesn't have to climb trees and rescue parrots. So Cody, so they go through all this all day long. It's been hours and the poor little guy has been in the tree. And when they got all the way up there and Cody risked his life, the bird just flew away.
I think he does his place. He just was talking.
No, dude, something was wrong. And his little buddy, he was screaming, and his little friend kept flying over and feeding him, and something was wrong. Something's not right.
Well, the fact he flew to another tree, though, is good. So he's not hurt.
No, he's not hurt.
I think there could be some carnage up there. No. I don't know. You'll have to Google.
It's
Google.
A parrot. I don't want a parrot.
No, but Google the behavior of a wild renegade parrot. Don't forget, these are escapees. And they gang up and they get like those cats.
Yeah,
what are those feral? They're feral
parrots. They're not
parrots.
Hunters. They're fruit eaters. Fruits and seeds.
I know, but when you're out with
They're called farm pests, quite literally. Like my bird, Bonsai, is a Senegal parrot. She's about the exact same size. And in Senegal, they're considered, quote, farm pests. Because they eat fruit and see, that's what I call her, the farm pest.
I know, but when you get with your friends from the wrong side of the track, you turn to the dark side. And these parrots are renegades. They've turned, they've gone to the dark side, and they're killing rats. You watch, you're going to see one flying over your house with a big rat in its mouth.
Richard. My little Richard. Dog, Richard. which wouldn't be too off-putting, actually.
Can you imagine, like three, there he goes. Three of them just...
Yeah, flying away. The dog's good eats, man. He's got like 8 rolls. No matter what I do, that dog finds food. It's incredible. He eats chapstick. I mean, like, literally, he'll come home and be like, son of a bitch. And, like, he will go into your bag and eat your chapstick. He finds a way. It's remarkable.
Oh, okay. Get back to here now.
Should we finish or love? Just gone on to...
Some other.
Well, here's what it says don't do.
Okay, don't do this now. Although we've disagreed with everything in this
I
whole
know.
Article.
It does say, last thing, post on each other's Facebook walls because you're acknowledging your relationship in a public forum and it shows a higher level of commitment. But don't post something like from a place of insecurity, like staking your claim. But I mean, what's the difference? It is staking your claim.
Oh, she doesn't see. She's,
all of it.
What would we call her
sleeping
again?
Around, man.
I don't need to post on this wall. We live together. I post on the bulletin board in the house.
What? Take out the trash?
Yeah. Mail this.
It does have claws, just only
just
at home.
Exactly. Only in the home.
Mail this. All right. Fine.
Well.
Should we save the don't do's for another segment? Because what are we, 500 minutes into this? Is the podcast over?
I think.
Well, if you want to tune in for the don't do's, even though we've agreed not to do any of the above that they said to, you'll have to come back.
Yeah.
What a tease. Industry is booming, and there's a huge demand for certified personal trainers, and you can earn a ton of money doing something that you love. NASM is one of the best certifying organizations out there. The National Academy of Sports Medicine is going to help you help others reach their fitness goals. This is so simple, guys. All you got to do to check it out is go to usatrainer.com. That's usatrainer.com, and they're going to give you a free 14-day sneak peek to their fast and fun online program. And on top of it all, these guys are going to guarantee that you will land a job within 60 days of your certification, or they'll give you your money back. Mm-hmm. If it's something you've been thinking about, take that step. Give it a try. It's so simple. 14-day free trial. If you don't get a job, you get your money back. Go to usatrainer.com now to get your NASM certification today. So it was
on the internet the other day, and I follow Maria Shriver on Facebook, and she had linked this article on her website about parenting mistakes. And I know we talk a lot about parenting stuff on the show, but when I opened it up, I thought it was kind of profound because it really hit home. It wasn't like, don't give your kid a time out. Give your kid a time in. You know, it wasn't that kind of real shallow surface kind of stuff. It was a lot deeper in it. It's hard to look at, but when I did start looking at it, it made me think. And I wanted to share a couple of the ones that really stood out with me. And the first one was be the bigger person. And I cannot tell you how many times if I would get in a fight with one of my parents, my mom would always be the bigger person. My dad would never be the bigger person.
Because he was so childlike.
It's like, and my, you know, Lou has been a little bit weird with me lately. I can't tell if it's because she's back in school or if I'm having to work more or if she's just starting to get a little bit closer with Heidi or what it is. Oh, there's my phone. Excuse me. Or what it is. And, you know, she kind of was like our normal routine would be like, I'll get her ready for bed or whatever. And she'll say like, I don't want you to do it. I want mommy to do it. Cause like I'm mama. So, and I'm like, really? And it kind of hurts your feelings.
Sure.
You know, you're like, and my inclination being me, so effed up, is to just be like, you know what? No problem. You want mommy to do it? Great. Go get mommy. You know what I mean? And no, it's like, that's how I would deal with any other adult. Like, really?
Sure.
No problem.
Yeah.
I'll never do it for you again. Kind of a thing. Like that, those.
You're dead to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt myself being like, you know what? You want mommy to do it? Fine. Go get mommy. Mommy will do it for you. And then I was like, come on, Jillian. And, you know, you can see yourself, like, all your issues. But with adults, you're like, I don't care. You know what? I don't owe you anything. You want to be that way with me? You're dead to me, right? Yeah. Same thing. And then with kids, I was like, you don't know what she's feeling or what she's going through that's making her behave this way. Or, you know, or maybe she just does want to be closer to Heidi right now, and that's normal. And I was like, you got to be the bigger person. Can't do this. You can't behave this way with a child. You know, and I thought about all of the things that we do as old historical defense mechanisms. I thought that was a big one. Be the bigger person. You know, try to allow the love for your kid to overcome your issues.
Mm-hmm. I would find it incredibly, as if I was a parent, which is never going to happen at this point in my life, but I would find it incredibly hard to not be hurt or jealous.
Yeah.
Or if my child, you know, wanted to be soothed by the other parent, I'd be like, wait a minute. I totally get it.
Especially because, I don't know, she's just, and I was like, all right. So I just kind of pushed her anyway. So, like the next day, I was like, hey, dude, I'm like, come on outside. I want to show you. Like, we got the swing chair thing. And she was like, well, what's mommy doing? And I was like, well, mommy's going to do this X, Y, or Z. And I was like, but come on, I just want to show it to you. I'm like, and if you don't want to come, you can come back inside. And so, I kind of tried and then, you know, let her do whatever. And then I ended up being able to talk to her about school and what have you. But it's like, you know, you got to be the bigger person. Mm-hmm. You do. You're the adult. You have to be the bigger person. And another one was, don't make their drama your drama. So I think a lot of times, you know, the kid loses the game or the kid gets a bad grade or something's going on for them in school and it becomes about you and how upset you are about it. And, you know, I think we need to remember whose problem it is and keep the focus on the kid. And I really liked that one.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good one. I don't have an issue with that one per se, but I've witnessed it a lot. For example, let's say she's being bullied at school.
Gotcha, yeah.
Okay? And I'm just furious. I pay so much money for this school. This is outrageous. I can't believe this. I want that principal on the phone. And it starts to become like your issue and you're upset and you pay a ton for this school and how dare they not police the situation and they're taking advantage or you're not getting your money's worth. And now it's about you. It's not about her being bullied or having her feelings hurt. And you can deal with that stuff privately with the principal. Like, listen, you know, I expect more out of the school, but it becomes about you and you're upset and not about the kid.
I seem to remember a discussion we had a while ago that never got on the air. It was before we got on the air. And we decided not to put it on the air because I remember how quite upset you were.
I was.
You were ready.
I wanted her to punch this kid out. Everyone was like, you can't do that.
You can't do that, Jill. Like, no.
Why not? Just once.
Why not?
I was like, Lou, let me teach you how to make a fist. Oh, my God.
No.
I want to knock that little punk out.
Oh, my goodness.
Woo! So exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And understand the difference between criticizing and correcting. So, for example, kids aren't going to know, manners. They aren't going to know how to share. They're not going to know pretty much anything. They're kids.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're lazy or stupid or any of that stuff. They have to be taught, or like, for example, discipline, work ethic. They don't just know these things.
Yeah.
They have to be taught these things. And so, you know, don't label your children or what's the matter with you? What are you, lazy? Why are you so lazy? You have to teach them how to have that work ethic and have that discipline and be supportive of them learning it. Growing it. It is a skill. It's not, you're not just born with it, so to speak. And I thought that was a really good one.
Life experience. That's the best, you know.
Yeah. Those things are skills too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you never want to sit down and do your homework. Well, you know what? I don't want to sit down. I never want to sit down and do my homework either. You have to teach kids how to focus and how to kind of buckle down and support them in doing it and make it incremental, give them a game plan. You gotta help them with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just expect them to know it. And another big one is don't use guilt and shame as consequences.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
They're an absolute sledgehammer of the parenting toolbox, so to speak. And, you know, don't whine about how embarrassed you were or how disappointed you are or, you know, how
you're not supposed to say I'm disappointed in your when you did that.
The new stuff says no because it's shaming. So instead of telling them what you don't want to see, tell them what you do want to see. So instead of being like, I'm so disappointed that you got a C on that test or a D on that test, it would be something like, sweetie, I would really love to see you get a better grade in this class because then we can get you into, you know, that college that you want to go to, or it will open up a world of possibilities for you.
Mm.
Or, you know, then you can go, you'll get those privileges to be back on the soccer team back. And I'm so disappointed in you. Does that make sense?
It does, because it becomes about us. However, I think, don't you think it's good for a kid to learn to be disappointed in themselves and the fact that they,
It's less about being disappointed. It's more about wanting more for themselves. Flipping it to a positive spin. So instead of telling them what you don't want or what you're upset with, tell them what would be great. What would be really positive and wonderful.
Yeah.
And don't shame or guilt them. Because they don't come out of it. They don't go, oh, I'm so guilty and ashamed.
Like an ad. Oh, you're right.
Even though my mom said, well, there's healthy shame, because you can be like, oh, I'm, you know, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I put myself in harm's way and I'm going to fix it. But as a parent, you don't want to be like, I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm so disappointed by you.
Yep.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Take a positive approach and don't smother or infantilize. And I thought that was a really good one. Encourage self-sufficiency. And I think that a lot of people really need to be needed. And I understand that. I need to be needed too. But sometimes our need to be needed can actually hurt our kids. Because, you know, we are supposed to be, I'm certainly no parenting expert. I'm really preaching about this from my own kind of like, oh God, okay, I do that, or I have struggled with that. But like, ultimately, we're raising them to be set free.
Yes. Yeah, you know? Of course.
It's like we're trying to set them free at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, let me do that for you. And you're constantly helicoptering around them and smothering them and doing everything for them. They never really develop that self-sufficiency. Another big one was practice self-care, right? Go to the gym, eat well, make your doctor's appointments. And this parenting expert was saying that she believed a lot of the worst parenting moments occurred when we're stressed, when we're tired, when we're sick. And in addition to that, we're not role modeling good self-care for our kids. They're going to grow up and have the same issues. Plus, resentment builds. All the sacrifices I made for you, which go back to guilting the kid again. And down the road, your kid can resent you because they felt responsible for you giving up the things that you wanted.
Yeah.
And I was always really lucky. My mom, you know, she went back to school. She pursued a career she loved. She took care of herself. And I never felt like she wasn't there or she didn't sacrifice enough. And I thought it was a really good role model for me to really prioritize my health and all of that stuff as I got older.
Yeah. So that's it.
That was very good. I can't believe you want to do part two to this when you just hated it for part one.
I didn't hate it. I thought it opened up interesting conversation.
Oh, all right.
But I also don't like to leave our audience hanging.
Oh, that's right, because you promised.
I did promise. So, Janice pulled an article from Women's Health. And it was about technology and dating. And we did segment one. About the what the author thought you should do. Of course, many of us disagree with that.
We disagree with almost
now
all
we're
of
about to get into what the author thinks you shouldn't do
with your
and of course,
social media.
We were interrupted because we had a wild parrot rescue situation at my home.
That's right.
Which ended up being a false alarm after my other assistant Cody risked life and limb to save the bird. It flew.
It flew away. And scene. And fade to black.
Yeah. So I thought we'd pick up with the don'ts. All right. Are we ready?
So, all right.
I think we'll all agree with this. Don't read personal texts or emails on your significant other's account. So, like, don't read their texts. Don't read their emails. You know, and if you do have access to their accounts, it's a privilege. Don't abuse it, this woman says. And she says it can become addicting. And I think that's true.
Very.
I think that's true. You know, and she says, here's her tip. She says, if you do decide to snoop, your guy is likely to feel angry and intruded upon. Oh, you think? Hello? And may also be inclined to be more secretive going forward. But what I think is interesting about that is we've always talked about the more you act to avoid something you fear, the more you manifest it. So it's like the more you snoop and the more oppressive and overbearing you become, the more secretive they become and the more you're going to snoop and suspicious, and it just begets this vicious cycle. Just communicate, man. If you're concerned, say I'm feeling a little insecure and then voice the reason why and let them speak to it. What do you guys think? Snoop, yes, no? I think it comes from a place of fear. I feel like if you're in a relationship where you gotta snoop, that it's not a good relationship.
That's what I think too.
Never thought to check Heidi's texts. Ever.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's never done. I've never occurred on to for crying out loud.
Never, ever, ever.
No, but I'm also a narcissist, so I don't have the time. I'm not a snooper because I'm busy. I really, even when I dated people, I never understood the concept of snooping because I was just I had things to do. Who could go through their stuff? And I think ignorance is bliss, quite honestly. I just didn't want to know. Not that I think you don't want to know if someone's cheating on you, but, I mean, I don't know. I've never thought to check.
If you have that feeling, it's probably not a good relationship.
I agree with Jake.
If the feeling is overbearing enough for you to get to the point to snoop, then that's probably, you know.
Yeah, and she says, don't look for him on ex-bashing apps. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
What's an ex-bashing app?
She said, these apps are a lot like Yelp, minus the positive reviews. And since all relationships are different, the info you find will likely be unrewarding, and you have no idea if it's the truth. I guess there are apps where you bash your ex?
Wow.
I'm going to be right back, guys, and check myself on this.
What is it?
I don't know.
Find me these.
Googling.
Google.
Wow.
Okay, so tip.
I looked him up anyway, and then you're stuck with that unsettling information. Bring it up, and it's likely your guy will feel betrayed that you sought out a past love rather than him to get the full scoop. Plus, someone's going to be bitter and vicious on there. You can't trust that stuff. Like, Yelp? Oh, my God. Heidi's sister opened this organic nail salon, and they couldn't take this one woman one day because they were busy, and she went on Yelp and wrote, like, this horrible review, and it wasn't true. It's like Amazon, man. It's like people who... our haters just get on there and haven't even done your DVD or read your book, and they're like, she's a moron! She's an idiot! And you know they haven't even done the DVD.
Yeah, no, that, if it's a bashing.
Like, if someone breaks up with somebody and they go on there, she's an idiot! You know, that's not a good, that's not legit.
No.
Don't do that.
No.
You can't trust the source.
No.
Yeah.
No,
say don't do it because don't feed into the negativity.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just, that's evil. Who creates such a nasty little app?
Oh.
How terrible.
The social media world's evil.
Yeah, I don't like that. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. Don't search his web browser history. You know what you're going to find. Porn, and more porn. Yeah.
You think?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh,
totally, yeah. Jake?
Yes, I watch porn.
Yeah, see? Where?
On my computer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I don't watch porn.
Sure you do.
I don't.
Sure you do.
No, I really don't.
You mean you're just really out in the yard with a fifth of Jack standing over the sprinkler?
No, I just don't. I don't.
Come on.
No, I don't. For a while when I lived in Los Angeles, I had a channel.
No.
Yeah,
no?
See?
A channel?
A channel that all of a sudden I was flipping around and went, oh my goodness.
On TV?
On TV.
No one watches porn on TV.
Well, anyway, but it was kind of that fake stuff, you know, where you've got long nails and they're just like, and I'm just like, oh, please, that doesn't happen.
Oh, you watch lesbian porn.
Well, no, it wasn't.
You're going to hell.
It was just...
What are you doing with your fingers? That's
well,
terrible.
Well, it's just they were pretend. It just was so fake to me. No, I seriously don't. I'm sorry, Autumn. And Autumn doesn't watch porn either.
No,
no, not really my thing.
I don't know if it's as much of a girl thing, but I know women that watch porn. I do.
I mean, I would if it was.
Well, I think what they're saying is, what if you see
like
that you're
open-minded? I just don't really. I'm not watching it by myself.
This is interesting.
At home,
this all comes down to trust, though. Like, if you find some scary stuff on there, like, quite honestly, not porn, but like if you find someone's Googling like really creepy things, like how to make a bomb with a blender, you know, that's. But to be honest with you, if you don't trust somebody to that degree, what are you doing with them in the first place?
Yeah, I agree.
But I've never thought to Google to check Heidi's history, but it would be boring as crap. That's why.
Bees?
Be like, yeah, how to keep bees. How to keep check-ins. How to bring your soil back to life. Yeah, it's a snooze fest. An absolute snooze fest.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be interested in the history. No, that wouldn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And, all right, and then stalking his exes.
Oh, I've done that.
Really?
I mean, not stalk them. I haven't gone out and just parked outside their house, but I have been curious about them. I've been curious about exes. I don't know if that means stalking, but I
guess going on their Facebook and, yeah.
Well, mine was more like just I wanted them to tell me. Tell me about her. Tell
me.
Why? I don't know. I guess I just was insecure.
A guy that I've been working with produces that show True Tory. And I caught like an episode of it. And she wanted to know. Tori wanted to know everything about the night that Dean cheated. And I was dying. I was like, no! Stop talking. It just, I was like, why is she doing this? Why, God? Like, why does she want to take the knife, jam it in, and then start twisting it around? Why? Why would anybody want to know that?
Because you want to know what it is in them that you don't have.
An ex. So shouldn't it be the other way around, too?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
No, Jake. Yeah.
The the girl you're dating's exes?
Yeah.
No.
No.
That's weird.
I grew out of that. I mean, that's something I maybe would have done when I was 19. Well, his ex before me is Nutters.
No.
I don't care because I'm not. I really, honestly, am not concerned about them.
I don't care either.
How can you judge somebody based on who they've dated? They might have made a mistake.
Look at you, Jake. Here's the thing. I'll be honest. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't understand any of this. If you're that jealous and that suspicious, it's going to be one of two things. Oh, here's Heidi. Hold on. Just a moment. Hang on. Honey?
Hello?
Honey?
Yeah?
Do you ever read my text messages?
No.
Do you ever read my emails?
Only if your computer's open or I'm right there.
Why don't you?
Don't usually have time.
Honey, can you do me a favor? Can you go to your computer or your... are you on your phone?
Yeah, I'm on my phone.
Can you read me? Well, it could have been the home phone. Could you read me your Google history, please?
It's probably like LA Times.
Boring.
Weather.com.
Boring.
Sometimes Daily Mail.
Daily Mail? You're a gossip reader?
No, that's where I get my ISIS news. Although I feel
from
like
the Daily Mail?
That's about it, I think.
Nothing else?
Not really.
Chickens and bees.
Oh, yeah, chickens. And today I was Googling how to stop lizards from eating your plants.
See, boring! Boring is snot! El Boringo. Boring Aronimus. Have you ever checked my Google history?
No.
Why? I'm way more interesting.
Why would I check your Google history?
See, this is the thing. Why do people do this?
I don't feel like you have time to do anything bad or... I travel a lot.
How do you know I travel a lot?
That's true. I guess I expect that you won't.
Well, what? Why?
Why don't I do that?
Why do you think I won't cheat?
Oh, well, because you always said you wouldn't just have a one-night stand. You would have an affair. And
maybe I am having an affair. Janice loves me. You had a who? A what?
Sense.
Oh, you had a sense.
Like, I just thought something was going on.
I know that.
And there it is!
No, but there I know what is. Heidi's saying.
You either have it right. So there's going to be two reasons you're going to do this. Either one, you have a history of feeling lied to and manipulated. And in which case, once you've assuaged your fears with open dialogue with your significant other, you got to work on this in therapy or you will chase them away because they'll feel smothered and they'll feel like you're suspicious and paranoid and they will start to distance you because nobody wants to feel that way. Or you have a sense because the person is cheating on you, in which case... talk to them, discuss it with them, and, you know, keep an open dialogue about it. Although, last but not least, I know that many people do discover that the other person is lying and cheating on the texts and the emails. So, I don't know how we advise that. This is, I don't know.
Do I need to start looking?
Maybe you should. But I'm going to change my password now. Although, one of the things I've done to Heidi, this is why you don't give somebody your password, is I always get her Facebook password, and I post all kinds of things on there, like, look, I've got diarrhea, and I'll take a picture of, like, problems. That's a small price to pay.
Heidi, God, you know, Heidi, God bless you.
Yeah.
Look, I've got time. Yeah, you don't need her password to call 911.
You don't?
No.
Shut up, Autumn! I have to go, honey. Goodbye.
Alright, I love you. Bye.
You guys are a-holes. Shut up! Shut up! It's one of the...
One day I took a picture
of a lizard on a motorcycle, but it was like this weird, creepy lizard that this guy drew. And he's on a motorcycle, and then he stops to let a little school of ducks walk by. And I made that her little profile picture. And
awful.
I Googled massive poop on I didn't actually say poop. I used the S word. And I put images, and I took a picture off of there. It's really disgusting, and it's really – I sent it to you. Remember the person – remember I sent – I put it on Heidi's Facebook, and I said, after days on the road – finally, some relief. You know what? You're off of that picture. What is this about? Heaven is heaven for me. It's like...
Oh, my God. You know what? You're awful.
How brilliant was that, though? Finally, some relief with the photo. Oh, God. And I texted to her when she's not around, and I download it off of her text on her phone, and I get on her phone, and I post it. And then I need to hide the phone because all her friends... start commenting, and then she sees the comments to her phone, so I have to hide the phone so it stays up there for at least a couple hours.
Oh, that's awful. Woo! Oh, you're horrible.
Oh, God.
You're horrible, as was this segment.
Which you picked, by the way.
Like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.